Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat show, when we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K, and today we're joined by a Omnoy Stadium champ, three-time Muay Thai world champ. Please welcome to the show, Ognin Topic. How are you, my friend?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing good.
My friend, I want to ask you, this is a hard question. We'll start off hard. So what do you think you've gotten out of fighting so far in your life?
I've gotten a new career out of it. I would say that, but did I learn anything from that? No, not even through the hard battles. I didn't learn anything, because if I wasn't already that person, I don't become the fighter that I am today. So I had to have been mentally strong before I began Muay Thai and fighting.
Why should people learn how to fight?
That's a good question. I think for the most basic purpose, I think it's a good way to be able to defend yourself. And then, yeah, okay, it does help you out with confidence as well. Especially when you spend a lot of years in the sport, you kind of tend to just shrug your shoulders at problems. You know, if somebody wants to fight you or something, or if they're yelling at you, getting out of control, you're just calm because you've experienced that so many times over and over again, in a stressful situation.
Do you feel that when you train and you develop the physical aspect of your health, do you feel like this contributes to your mental?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, looking at yourself in the mirror, I think that helps, because, you know, we all want to look. I always say that I don't care about what people think, but there's always a small percentage that I do care, because I'm not going to walk outside with my hair looking like this. I still want to look presentable enough to look okay, you know? So you do have a small percentage that you do care about what people say. So yeah, having a good body will also help you. It's like, you know, when they say putting on a suit makes you feel like that, you know, you feel like you're something different. Every once in a while when you put a suit on, I'm sure people who wear a suit every single day don't have that feeling anymore. So I'm sure it's the same kind of feeling that you get when you have a good body that you work towards having.
Have you ever lived in Serbia?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was born in Bosnia in 1986, and in 1992 we had a war over there. And so we had to flee because we were Serbian, and we had to go to Serbia. So we lived in Serbia as refugees there for a while, and then in 1995 my father was playing the immigration lottery in America, and then he won it, and that's how we came to America.
When you were in America, did you take up Muay Thai there?
Yeah.
Which gym did you find? What was the story behind that?
I found a local gym when I was 18 years old, and at 14 years old, I started watching a lot of combat sports, boxing mainly, and I fell in love with boxing and I wanted to be a boxer. But my father didn't let me do boxing, so then I started with Taekwondo, and then I did that until I was 18. But I knew it's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to do real fighting. And then I saw Muay Thai for the first time on ESPN when I was 18, and I knew right then and there that that's exactly what I wanted to do. I went online, found a local gym. So from 18 until now, I've been involved in Muay Thai.
I want to unpack something with the relationship between boxing and other combat sports. When you see somebody in MMA, they can have their stance kind of wide when they're boxing. And if they're good at jiu-jitsu, if they're good at wrestling, they'll risk the positional control of the other person trying to take them down to land better shots, land better boxing, you know what I mean? And it can translate really well. When I was watching a lot of Muay Thai fights, because they're so kind of squared, it's kind of bouncy with the, you know, the kicks and the elbows and the knees. I just feel like boxing isn't as good, you know what I mean? There's not that many power shots that can be landed. Like, I know there's some Muay Thai fighters that you can see that. The point I'm trying to make is that in MMA, you see some boxers that are really, really good. Like, you can call them a boxer, you know what I mean? Like a Dustin Poirier, like a Conor McGregor. But do you see that in Muay Thai? Maybe I haven't seen a fighter that their boxing is just so tremendous that you can call them like a boxing-type Muay Thai fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you'll never find that in Muay Thai, but you will find guys who know how to punch really well, and they'll put together combinations. But it's never going to be, you know, where they're just strictly rely on their hands, because obviously they're just going to get countered by kicks and the long range techniques for Muay Thai, especially when the other fighter knows that he's fighting up against the boxer. So you won't see that too much. But yeah, you'll see guys who know how to use their hands. And most of us are pretty good at boxing. You know, we still spend a lot of time boxing, sparring in the gym a couple of times a week. So we do have that skill. We just can't really use it because of that reason. You know, if you spend like a half of a round trying to box the other guy and the guy's landing kicks, you're already losing that round.
I just realized I was trying to figure it out while I was talking to you, but Superlek, he's a tremendous boxer. He was a good boxer before Muay Thai, you know, competition in one championship. I believe he won a belt. Do you know if he won a belt or not?
I'm not sure, but yeah, there's many Thai fighters who were ex-boxers as well, or have taken on boxing fights during their Muay Thai career.
When did you realize that you wanted martial arts to be your career path? Was there a specific moment?
Yeah, it was when I was watching those boxing fights, Friday night fights on ESPN when I was 14 years old. And the reason why I think I started watching is I didn't have many friends. So since the time I came to America, so I was in second grade, so that's like about 9 years old. All the way up until about sixth grade, which was like about 13 years old, 13, I never went out. The first time I started going out and hanging out with friends was like around 13 years old. So, I had to figure out how to, you know, do things myself. So it was my art that I like to do, drawing and things like that. And then the second thing was the boxing. And I'm not sure how I just started watching the fights on TV and I fell in love with it. And then I went into the Taekwondo, which I knew it wasn't effective. I didn't like it, but that's all my father allowed me to do. And then when I saw Muay Thai, then that was it.
How do you port over the Taekwondo spin attacks into Muay Thai? I know that the stance in Muay Thai is very, what's it called? Is it bladed? Is that the word for it when it's squared?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say bladed for a Taekwondo. It's
okay, that's
linear.
What I mean. Yeah. So with Taekwondo, bladed, Muay Thai, more square, I've been seeing some Muay Thai fighters that can throw a savage wheel kick, a great spinning back kick. And I feel like porting over those type of things, like the spinning back fist, things that are kind of inapplicable, I would say, you know, ineffective in a Taekwondo setting, like a fight to actually finish the fight, porting that over into Muay Thai to actually try and end the fight with those techniques. I think that's the most important thing that people are still kind of figuring out. Is this something that you want to work on, or have you already done this?
I always, when I started Muay Thai, first of all, there was Taekwondo did a lot, gave me a lot more negative things than positive things. For Muay Thai, I think the only thing that it gave me is the ability to be in a stance, not in the correct stance, but in a stance, knowing how combat sports should be. But, you know, I had to unlearn a lot of things. And then when I started doing Muay Thai, I fell in love with how efficient it was. And for me, efficiency is the path of least resistance. So there was no, spinning things. We literally have what, two kicks? We have a roundhouse kick and a teep, which is, the front kick. That's it. And the simpler for me, the better. And that's where I found the beauty in Muay Thai. So I just wanted to keep it as close as possible to how the Thais fought when I first started doing this. I think I just did my first spinning kick maybe like two fights ago. So that was just last year, ever in a fight. So yeah, I try to stay away from all the flashy stuff. I try to just perfect the way that Muay Thai is because I feel like that's the most efficient way.
Do you feel comfortable kicking with both legs, or is there one that you feel is more dominant?
No, it's definitely the same now. Yeah.
Hard question. Do you feel like you're in a constant pursuit of perfection when you're studying martial arts?
Yeah, I do. And those are like the mental pain that you go through. And it's not easy to do that, but it's just who you are, and it's constantly saying to yourself that you're not doing enough or that you can do more or trying to adjust these small little things. So it's a constant struggle, yeah.
When we're doing that constant struggle, you can always train more. There's always more reps to be done. There's more things to work on, more things to refine. Do you ever feel like you find your limit, or do you feel like when you're done with the training, you go, maybe I could have done a little bit more, even if you've done three, four trainings in a day?
No, there's no limit, especially when it comes to the mental and then like the technical side of things. There's always a way that you can do it slightly faster, and I'm talking about shaving milliseconds off, but a millisecond, that's a long time in a fight, or I would say in a situation where you need it to be quick, it's a long time. So for me there, there's never like a limit. Obviously, when you're training, like doing hard pad work and things like that, yeah, there's gonna be a limit because then you're getting diminishing returns if you're going, above the threshold. So when it comes to that, yes, but as far as the technical aspect and mental aspect, no, I don't think there's any limits. There's always something else that you can squeeze out of there.
You know, when you're running and you get to like 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, and you're nasal breathing, everything's fine. If you stay at a particular speed, you feel like you can do that forever. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter about everything around you. It's irrelevant. It's that you feel comfortable running at this speed and you can do this for forever, and it might be slower than your maximum, but that's what you can do. Then, when you start picking up the pace, you get that burning sensation. You know, when your body feels that burn and you have to push through that burn, that's the mentally exhausting points. I want to ask you, because a fighter like Israel Adesanya, because he's nasal breathing, he's in the fight and he looks good in the fourth than he does in the fifth, you know, and it's almost like that burning is not with him because he's pacing himself throughout the whole fight. Do you get that? Do you do that? Or do you feel the burn and you're just like, fuck, we have to push through now and we can't give up?
Yeah, I do feel that, and you do have to control that because at some point, yeah, heart, which to me is just determination, that determination can only last you for a certain amount. So you need to have the determination and the heart factor, but you also need to be in good condition. So those two work hand in hand. So you can't just be extremely conditioned and then say, and then maybe you get, or okay condition, and then you get tired and you say, okay, you know what? I'm just gonna go in there. You can do that when you know that you're about to, hurt your opponent. You know that you have him. You can see it in his demeanor, in his face, that he's about to go. Then you can go all out. But if it's like maybe the second round and then you have another 3 rounds left, now you have to begin to think in a different way. Yeah, maybe your cardio is good, but at some point Again, you're going to reach that threshold. And when you do, now it's going to take you not that 1 minute of recovery time. It's going to take you like double the time to recover. Obviously, you're not going to have that recovery. So you have to have that that mindset also, that you have to pace yourself. And that comes with experience. So it's not just about having great cardio. It's about having the experience to know when to go, when to slow down, you know, when to just control the fight and keep your opponent, you dictating that pace.
How do you improve your cardio so you don't get into the burning sensation, or do you think that that's inevitable?
There's been some fights where I didn't feel any of those burns. But it's
Talk about this? Am I insane? Like, why does nobody talk about this? I've listened to so many podcasts with fighters. I've had so many people on the show. I think you're like episode 128 or something for today. That, right? So I've had so many people, and no one has even spoken remotely about this concept of pacing yourself in a fight so you don't feel like it's not exhaustion. You feel like you can push through the burn, but yeah, the burn is literally hurting you. And if there's another fighter attacking you at the same time, then it's like, fuck, what are we doing here? How do we stop that from taking place? I haven't heard anyone talk about this. Have you heard people talk about this?
No, I haven't. But yeah, it's important to talk about. I mean, we all know, like I was saying, Muay Thai is so simple. It's very easy to learn Muay Thai. I mean, I feel like it would take you 6 months to get the basics down and begin to feel comfortable. So now after you finish, you know, after you spend maybe 10 years, 15 years, you really have to, you know, you at that point, you understand the sport fully. So now it's thinking about different things. You know, it's not just working hard, it's doing things like this where you can have that experience to pace yourself and to know exactly when to go and to put your opponent into the position where you can control them instead of the other way around.
If you train at a minimal intensity for, let's say, 30 to 40 minutes or something, where you're hitting the bag or hitting pads, but you're not exploding, getting that burn, you're just you're getting to the point where it's below that threshold. Do you feel like that improves your cardio, or do you feel like the only way to truly improve cardio is to push it to the absolute limit, red line everything, and be exhausted, fall on the floor, and you feel fucked, and then from there, the next time you train, your capacity, your lungs, your determination, your breathing, everything is improved?
There's no manual for our body when it comes to this stuff. So there's no black and white. It's like all very gray areas. So I'll tell you two different schools of thought and what I've learned. I realized when I started training and fighting in Thailand, sometimes, especially when you're at a low level. So this is going back like 10 years now when I first started going there, and even longer actually. Sometimes you just get a call and your coach says, hey, you're going to fight in 3 days, 4 days, and you got to go out there and fight. You know, you're not going to have that 1 month to train that we do back home here in America or outside of Thailand where we usually do. So you have a lot more time to prepare. This just comes out of nowhere. So there's been many times where I was in Thailand and I'm training really hard. I know the fight is coming up maybe like 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now. That's a long time in Thailand. You need only like about 2 weeks if you're training on a daily basis. You need about 2 weeks, maybe even just 9 to 10 days to get into that fight shape, and you're good to go to fight. So usually I'm training hard, just like I am back here. And I know about like three to four weeks, and I go into the fight, I finish the fight, and I feel like complete shit. Then you have this other time where your trainer is like, hey, you got to fight in a couple of days. And I'm shitting bricks because I'm like, fuck, I've never done this before. I always had a whole month to train, or, you know, 3 weeks. I had a full fighting camp to train for. How am I supposed to do this? I'm not in shape. I haven't been training hard. I haven't been getting my body to that 80%, 85% of my heart rate. So you go into the fight and you feel that you the best that you've ever felt. Explain that to me. It's inexplainable. How did that happen? I don't know. But once I started having a few of those types of fights, I realized, okay, so I don't need to be training like constantly at 90% of my max. I can take sometimes easier days and train maybe just 75 to 80% of my max, where you're not getting your heart rate up that high. And then the next day, maybe you go hard. Then again, another day, you take it easy. You know, so that was a big struggle for me as well, because I came with that same mentality that most of these old school trainers in Thailand have. The harder you train, the better you're going to be. But it's so wrong. It's not the way to go. The scientific way, the new way, is the better way. You know, where you're training hard and then you take it easy, then you train hard again, then you take it easy. I think that's the best way to go. So the one thing that I'll tell you, no matter how many times I've taken that scientific way, where I've trained hard once and then the next day you train easy and then the next day again you train hard, that doesn't help me mentally be prepared, because there's always that question in the back of my mind when I'm about to go fight, did I do enough? Because I didn't feel like shit. And then when I'm training, but the good thing about that is that I am going to feel better and good in that fight. But then on the other side, when I'm training like an animal, then you feel like, oh man, I feel so good. I'm mentally strong. I feel like I'm in great physical shape. My cardio is good. But then when you step into that ring, you feel like shit. You don't feel as good. So, now that I'm older, I'm 30 years old. Like I said, I need less than 2 weeks of hard training to prepare, and then I know I'm good to go. And then of course, with your experience, all that combined together, you're able to fight through in those five rounds.
Two things here. I'm in Australia. We have Australian rules football. Some of the athletes, they will, if they want to improve their running, they will go for a 3 kilometer run, and then they'll do it slowly and just complete it. And then they'll do the next day rest, do the next run slowly, and run for 4 or 5 kilometers, not pushing past any barriers. Then they complete these runs, and then they're ready to actually go for the 3 kilometer. Then they go balls to the wall. They take their 2-3 day rest. They go balls to the wall, 3 kilometer run, and they destroy the time. They destroy the time of doing this slow 60 to 70% threshold training, and then go 90. And when they do their 90, they're even faster than they've ever been before. So there's the first thing that I want to talk about. The second thing is the Khabib style training in Dagestan. All these Dagestani wrestlers, all these MMA fighters in Dagestan, they train at like 100%, and then they do that for hours on end, and then they sleep, and they just keep doing that. They sleep 2-3 times a day or something, they nap, and then they get up and train 100% again. So both have shown the correct results, but you can't, seeing that there's no instruction manual, you can't disprove or prove that one is more effective than the other. You've got two champions that train two different ways. We've been talking about this. How do you feel about that, seeing that there's some Dagestan fighters and some Muay Thai, Thailand fighters, that all they want to do is train 100% and then sleep and 100%? Like, what do you take from that?
Well, you just gave me the answer of the aspect of how they're being able to achieve that, the Dagestani way and then the Australian way. And that's the key word for me was rest. So they're all getting a lot of rest, and rest is 100% part of training. You cannot be doing a physical sport, especially as demanding and fighting, where you need your mental ability and your physical ability to work in unison and not have enough rest, you know? So rest is so important. Unfortunately for me, I don't get a lot of rest. I have issues sleeping. But when I do end up sleeping well, it's it's a huge night and day difference between my training result and how I feel when I'm training. So, yeah, I mean, you can still do it. You know, like you were saying, the Thai way and the Dagestani way, you can still do it, but they're sleeping, you know, 3 times a day. So that's going to really have a good positive effect. And then you were saying before they do that really hard run, they're getting like 2 to 3 days of rest, you know? So that's going to really help your body recover. And 3 days, you're not going to lose anything within your cardio. So you still keep what you worked for, but you have enough rest and gas in the tank to continue pushing forward with that training. We were talking about the training sleep. As far as the sleep and resting. Yeah. So I think what makes a difference, I think you can train hard on a daily basis. Obviously I would say that you would get the same results by doing a hard day, easy day, hard day, or moderate day, you know, but you can still train hard on a daily basis just don't do the same exercise. The problem that we have in Thailand is you're doing, when you have a fight coming up for the last, I would say like, yeah, 9 to 10 days before the fight, we're doing like 8 to 12 rounds of pads, 4 minute each. And maybe to people that doesn't sound too much, you know, people who are not doing the sport, but you put your body in there in that first round of those 4 minutes and that heat, you want to just die, you know, because you're getting pushed to the limit constantly. So I think what happens is your muscles are just, you're not changing the use of different muscles. So you're utilizing the same exact muscles constantly on a daily basis for a week and a half, you know, and you're just not able to fire and get that explosivity anymore. So I think if you did like really hard pad work on Monday and then Tuesday, you're doing like, I don't know, hard bag work with some sparring and like really hard clinching. And then you go back again on Wednesday doing hard pad work. That would be so much better. Then you can do a hard training day on a single, every single day, but you got to change the workout. Unfortunately, I don't have a say, you know, and none of us fighters have a say in Thailand. And so we just have to do whatever they tell us to do.
So I want to ask you about how to properly angle. Do you think that angling in combat sports is underutilized?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like angling, but you have to do it at a certain time. And usually for me, it's when the person is coming at you. So I like the angle when I have a, you know, attacker, when he's fully committed to an attack, that's the best time to angle, because then you know that they cannot change their angle. And you have to wait until that last possible moment to angle. What people have a lot of issues with angling is that they angle too soon. So then the person can just turn around with them, follow them, and then continue fighting them. You have to angle when they're fully committed, or waiting until that last moment until they step to you.
When is your instructional with or the seminar with Tuan Chai? Has that already happened, or is it going to happen?
No, it's happening March 24th at PK Sanchai in Thailand.
When did you meet Tuan Chai?
I met him in 2018 when I first came to PK.
Do you speak Thai?
Yeah, I'm conversational.
Okay. All right, yeah. Sure. So when did you guys agree on doing the seminar together?
Well, the manager asked me, he wanted to do a seminar with us too. And so I obviously agreed. I think it's going to be a really good time. And so that happened about a couple of months ago when I was still in Thailand in December.
What do you think is your main goal for your fighting career? Do you want to go to one championship just like Tuan Chai? Or what do you think you need to do?
I was in one championship. I had 4 fights there. But my whole objective was to fight in Thailand so I can get a title over there. So then I told one championship that, you know, I wanted to just focus on fighting in Thailand and I didn't want to fight at one championship anymore. And so They were okay with that. And I got my title, Omnoi Stadium. And so, I've achieved my goal, and I'm just going to continue fighting because this is what I love doing. And more than what I love doing, it's, who you are and part of your identity, as much as I don't like saying that, because, it's something that has control over me that it's difficult for me to control, because I would love to quit this years ago, but you can't because it's a drug. Because I'm tired of making shit money from the sport. The only money that I do make is from doing personal training and then these seminars.
See, I'm not infallible in my topic points here. I even wrote, it says here at the bottom, it goes, how important was it for you to find one championship? Do you regret anything? So, me asking you, did you find one championship? I did do the research. I
Oh,
can't
okay.
believe, yeah,
No
can't
worries,
believe I
man.
fucked that up.
No worries.
Let me ask you, so do you regret anything from your one championship stint?
Yeah, I should have fought at a lower weight, and I don't regret it. I just should have fought at 135, because that's what I fight at now in at the stadiums. But when they approached me for those fights, they said that these are going to be fights at your weight class. So I walk around at about, at that time, actually 2018, when I first started fighting for one, I was walking around just about 40, 146, 147. So in kilograms, that's got to be like around 66, 67 kilograms, something like that. And then, so then they said, perfect, we have a weight class at 65.8. So I said, okay, that's amazing. So by the time I begin to train, I was training and I was walking around at about 64.3 or 5 kilograms. So I didn't have to cut any weight. So for me, it was perfect. So I'm thinking like, man, this is like the greatest thing ever. I never have to cut weight anymore. But unfortunately, people always want to figure out a way around the system. So now you had people coming down from like 70 kilograms, 72, 75 kilograms. They were making 65, 0.8, So now you were fighting against much bigger guys, and I didn't do so well. But yeah, if I ever fight again for one championship, then yeah, I would definitely fight at 135. I can, make that easier.
Why do you think long guard is important?
It's important for one thing, and the only reason is because of the elbows, the use of the elbows. If you were to use long guard for a boxing fight, I don't think it would be as beneficial for you because of all the uppercuts and then especially body shots. You expose your body fully for those body shots.
How much patience do you think you've employed in martial arts so far, seeing that you've been in the game for so long?
I am pretty impatient, but I don't think it was about patience. I think it was just about I'm not happy enough with this technique, so let me continue working at it so I can, figure it out. So it was never about patience for me.
I think you wrote, pressure will make you perform beyond your expectations. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, when your life is on the line and your back is up against that wall and you have no way to go just forward, you'll figure it out. I promise you that. And that's exactly what I mean by that. Because yeah, that it just heightens all of your responses and response time. You learn how to control the fear, and you become it just becomes a lot easier.
How do you control that fear? Do you control it by knowing that you've done it before, or do you have to be delusional a little bit?
I don't know about that. Everybody says, you have to be crazy to do this. I'm not crazy. I'm normal. It's just that this is what I want to do,
Are you
and
normal?
I think so, yeah. And I think the only way to learn to control fear is by doing it. You have to do it. There's no other way. Because if I was to say that I do it because of my experience, well then what was my experience before the first fight that I had? I had no experience. So this is what I wanted to do, and I was gonna make myself go through it, and then you build the confidence, and then you realize that it really wasn't as bad as you thought it would be. Your mind always makes everything much, much more difficult than it really is.
What is your best win in your Muay Thai career?
I would say anyone where I had to overcome something, and there was a few where I had to overcome a lot of injuries, and then you when you win that, then it just makes you even mentally strong, more stronger.
What do you think are the challenges that you've had to overcome in your career, not from a fighting point of view, more from a mental point of view?
Oh, I mean, when I was first starting fighting, my father didn't allow me to fight, so I had to lie to him. My whole family, I had to lie, except my sister. My sister knew, and I just hid my whole pretty much amateur career behind them. They had no idea that I was doing it until one of my cousins saw it once. He was living in England. He saw one of the fights on YouTube, and I was very secretive with what goes online as well. At that time, we didn't have Instagram, we just had Facebook. So nothing was on Facebook, nothing was on YouTube. But every once in a while, when a fight would show up, I would just contact the person. I would tell them, please take it down. I would explain my situation, and they would be nice enough to take it down. But this one time, I missed a fight that I didn't see. And then me and my father, he stopped talking to me for 4 months. And so that was difficult, because now I'm trying to manage my fighting career. And then I'm living in the same house, and how am I supposed to continue making these lies? So when I turned professional, I basically gave him an ultimatum, and it was, you're either gonna be okay with me doing this, or this is the last time you're ever gonna see me.
Is that what you said to him?
Yeah, exactly what I said.
How did he react when he first saw the fight?
It wasn't my best fight either. When that first fight came, but then after those, like maybe another 2 years passed by when I turned pro, that's when I talked to him, and then he understood, because he was also a professional soccer player back in the 70s, so he knew what it was to be an athlete and to love something, and he still plays, and he's 65, so he's been doing it his whole life, so he understood, and then after that he was okay with it. He supported me. He would come to watch the fights. And it's not like I needed support. I don't need anybody's support. I'm gonna do this whether you support me or not. It was just that I needed them to be okay with it, to know that this is what I'm doing in case something happens. So I don't have to think about fighting a Thai who has 200 fights and then thinking about what am I gonna do if I break my nose or come back home with a cut on my face. What's my lie gonna be? I was just tired of that.
Why did he have such a negative response to the fact that you were fighting?
Because he brought us to America to make something of ourselves, me and my sister. Not to be, he didn't want me to be somebody's punching bag. He wanted us to go to school and do what usually parents want you to do, be a doctor, be a lawyer. But unfortunately, I had different plans for myself. And he saw fighting as like the last resort. You tried to work here, you failed. You tried to work at McDonald's, you failed. Now you have no other way to make money than to use your fists. That's how he saw fighting, and he loved fighting as well. We would watch boxing and kickboxing together, but he just didn't want his son doing it. And I understand. I don't think I would want my son doing it either.
What if your children asked you to fight? What would you say to them?
They would have to really show me that this is what they want to do. They would have to prove to me that this is like gonna be their life. It's not something that they're just gonna do here and there. And okay, and if they did do it here and there, they would still have to train extremely hard. That's when I would be okay with it.
How did you prove to yourself that this is what you wanted to do? What switch did you have where you said to yourself, "Yep, I'm fully committed"?
I never had that. I never had that thought. This is just what I was doing, and I was just obsessed with it. It was just that. So I never even thought about that in my mind.
You said that the sport demands so much and gives so little. Have you felt that?
Yeah, constantly. It really does. These small sports, there's plenty of these types of sports in the world where people don't know anything about them. But there's people that are professionals and they have to work other jobs, second jobs to do them, and I was one of those people until I quit my job and then just decided to pursue Muay Thai. Yeah, it's difficult, but if you really do love something and you believe in yourself, then you're gonna figure out a way to make money. And that's exactly what I did.
What does vision is your defense mean?
Instead of relying on, let's say you see a lot of coaches teaching people, how to get hit in the stomach, and they're punching them in the stomach, and the solar plexus and the liver. But you're never going to be able to condition your liver or your solar plexus. You can condition your abs, but that's not the main punching target. My main target is to hit the liver and the solar plexus. Those are the vulnerable areas. You can't condition those. So why am I gonna spend time getting punched when I can spend time seeing visually how the body moves my opponent, how he looks when he sets up these hits? So what am I gonna do? I'm gonna do exactly that. I'm gonna do drills where I'm gonna have my partner throw body shots, or we're gonna do it live. It'll start with just the basic stuff, just throwing the body shots, those simple two shots. Then we're gonna go, okay, now you're gonna throw everything at me, just punches to the head, and then slip in those body shots when you can. Then the next step is, okay, now we're gonna add punches, knees, and kicks and elbows. Now you're gonna have the full Muay Thai, but the objective is always to go for that body punch. So now you're constantly thinking about, okay, let me see how that body looks. So now you're learning how to think under stress, which is exactly what's gonna happen. Whereas you're just sitting here with your arms like this, and your coach is just throwing these punches. Where's the stress in that? There's no stress. And plus, you're not getting anything out of it because, again, you're never going to be able to condition your solar plexus and liver.
When did you fight Senchai?
That was 2016.
What was that like for you?
It was, I loved it. That was one of my goals, to fight him. And for me, it was like I got paid to take a personal training session with him, because I learned a lot in that fight. And yeah, it was a great experience. I just wish it was 5 rounds, and I wish I fought him another time.
What did you learn from that fight?
I learned how important timing is, feints and fakes. I knew how important that stuff was already, but he solidified it. And then the speed and explosivity factor as well. I learned how important that stuff is.
Final question for today is, which coach do you believe has taught you the most about martial arts and Muay Thai?
I'm gonna be honest, man. I don't think any did. I spent 17 years with one gym that I started with in New Jersey. And those guys had no experience in fighting. They've never fought before. So they just taught me the basic, punches, kicks, knees, and elbows. And they were good pad holders. So they were just good trainers. That's it. But I had to figure all the shit out myself. I had to go in there into these fights, and get cut and get beat up. And then I would go back to the gym, and then I would figure out a way how to get better. And that was my whole career. And then when you go to Thailand, yeah, I did learn a lot from these coaches. They would give me small little bits and pieces, but again, nobody's telling you specific things when you go into that ring. Okay, this guy is going to be doing this, or it's just not, it's not the best training regimen that you can have, and so I just spent a lot of time just thinking about this myself, but I'm so happy that it turned out that way, because it made me think so much better under pressure, because I knew I was the only one that I can count on myself, and so that really helped me out a lot.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Ong Jen, for coming on the show. Is there any final remarks or statements, maybe some words of advice or wisdom? Maybe someone needs to hear something. What would you tell them?
Yeah, don't spend your whole life wishing that you could have done. You know, I have no regrets, zero regrets in anything that I've done. All my losses, I've done them, and I'm okay with the losses because I knew what the issue was. So there's no regrets. And obviously, I know fear is like the biggest obstacle for most people. But unfortunately, the only way to do it is to go through that fear. And, you know, when you achieve that, whether you do achieve your goal or not, at least you're going to be able to come back and fix the mistakes, and you'll know exactly where you made those mistakes. Now you're going to have the confidence of trying, but now you can build up your confidence even more by doing it again. So, you know, if you have fear, that's good. It's just going to help you out if you're able to use it in your favor. Controlled fear is a positive emotion. Uncontrolled fear is a very negative emotion.
Follow Mr. Topic on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.